The question this morning, do you want to be happy? Now, most pastors don't speak on this subject, but the older I get, the simpler I am. I'm not as complicated as I used to be. Some powerful, profound revelations come to me wrapped in simplicity, and happiness is one of those issues that all of us seek for, yet it's one of the most elusive. It's hard to wrap your arms around happiness. And if you want a definition of happiness, you've got to make your own up, because if you ask a person what happiness is to them, you'll get a different answer probably from every person you ask. And so it has to be self-defined, but simply it's like this. I believe, since I want my two daughters to be happy, then our Father, who's a better father to his children than I am to mine, how much more does he want his children to be happy? There are certain precepts and principles in Scripture that we can learn from as we answer the question, do you want to be happy? Now, Mylon Lefevre is like me. He's coming next month and going to bring a great word, as he always does. And he says it like this. He says, I believe Christians should be the happiest people in the world because we're going to heaven. And he said, it only makes sense that the people going to heaven should be much happier than the people who are going to hell. Now, that's a simple revelation, but I agree with that. And the Word of God speaks to us on this subject in Psalm 146 and verse 5. It says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now right there we'll begin, because happiness is promised to us if we have God as our help and as our hope. I would be the most miserable person if I did not have God to give me help and to give me hope, and so would each of you. I spend some of my time ministering to families who have no church and who've lost a loved one. There have been many times the funeral home will call and say to me or to Pastor Steve, we have a family here who has no connection to any church. They've lost a family member. They've asked us to get a minister to officiate the memorial service. And when I get a call like that, it reminds me, it shocks me again into the reality that there are many people who do not have God for their helper and their hope giver. And I don't know how a person makes it in some of the things we're faced with in life without knowing God. But the Bible says, happy is he who has God for his help and whose hope is in the Lord his God. So happiness begins with God. Happiness begins with knowing God. Nobody is responsible for your happiness but you and God. My wife is not responsible for my happiness, even though she will do everything she can to help out. My father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my friends, any of you, thanks for your help. You helped me be happy, but nobody is responsible for your happiness but you and God as your helper and as your hope. Now, in the old Hebrew word, it is in the most superlative form. In other words, when we read in Psalm, happy is he whose God is the Lord. That word happy really is said like this. Oh, how happy is he whose God is the Lord. Oh, how happy. In the New Testament, the Greek word, and you'll see it in the Beatitudes, blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he. The New Testament Greek, the word blessed and happy are the same words. I am blessed and happy. Now, before we go any further, I want to say to you, I'm imperfect, full of faults, failed many times, many more to go. I'm an imperfect man serving a perfect God. He thinks I'm perfectible as he does you, and he's still working on all of us. So in spite of my problems and my flaws and my imperfections, I am a happy man. I'm blessed and happy. I feel like I'm one of the happiest men in the world. My wife can tell you this, she lives with a happy man. Did you even hear it? My wife lives with a happy man. Almost all the time. Now, I do have my moments, but it's just a moment. I cannot live otherwise. It's a weakness of mine. I've just got to be happy, and I have a right to be happy because my hope is in the Lord my God. He's my helper and my hope. And the Bible says, oh, how happy and blessed is a man like Carl and a man or a woman like you whose hope is in the Lord their God. So I'm blessed and happy. Many are not happy because they're not grateful or not even aware of just how blessed they are. So the two go together. You're blessed and you're happy. You can ask a lot of people, how you doing? And they'll say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I like that. But I think I'm going to start saying when they ask me, how you doing? I'm going to say, I'm blessed and I'm happy, because you can't be one without the other. And if you're aware of one, you should be aware of the other. I'm a happy man. Now, if I have a bad day, I limit my bad days to one in a row. Hopefully never two in a row, but one in a row. And now when I'm talking about happiness, I'm not necessarily talking about laughter, even though I love to laugh. And the Bible says laughter is as good for us as medicine is. So nothing wrong with laughter. But you may not laugh all the time, but we should strive to be happy all the time. Now, here's how it works. It begins with the revelation the Apostle Paul gives in Philippians 4:11. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. Now, we can understand a few things just by reading those words. Number one, happiness is something that we must learn. We're not born happy. Nobody is born happy. But if we ever are happy, we will have to say the same thing Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Happiness must be learned. Understanding must come. And then the second point there is, he said, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what's going on outside and around me, I've learned to be content no matter what is happening around me. Now, that's powerful right there. Because so much goes on around us we cannot control. And it should not threaten our happiness. We can learn what Paul learned, that regardless of the circumstances going on, we don't have to postpone being happy until everything is perfect around us. We can learn, regardless of what's going on around us, how to be content, how to be happy. NIV says it like this, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now here's the problem with a lot of believers. It's a trap. Be aware of it. I call it when and then thinking. When and then thinking. For me, it went like this. When I was in elementary school, I thought I would be happier if I ever got to high school. Oh, come on, high school. When I get there, I'll be happy. When I got into high school, I thought, oh, when I can get out of here, get my diploma, I'll be happy then. And then when I got out of school, I thought, well, now that I'm out of school, I'll be happy when I can get married. And I was right about that one. When and then thinking. You may have been trapped by this thinking. When I get married, then I will be happy. When I get divorced, then I will be happy. When we have kids, then we will be happy. When I get a better job, then I will be happy. When I have the upper hand, then I will be happy. When I get everything the way I want it, always, then I will be happy. It's the when and then thinking that delays our happiness. And we fail to find happiness in the day-to-day events of life. Just the simple things that we do every day. It should be branded and marked by happiness. I believe as being a child of God, we qualify for this. I think our Father wants that for us. I don't want my girls miserable, frustrated, confused, anxious, worried. If they ever are, as a father, I will try to help them get out of that and get back to the happy place. And our Heavenly Father has a place like that for each of us. There is a true story of a young family with a couple of toddlers, and they were out to eat in a restaurant. And it was an Italian restaurant. The kids wanted spaghetti and meatballs. So as they were eating, the kids were making a mess, spilling sauce, dropping meatballs on the floor, getting spaghetti all over their clothes, just a mess. And the parents were frustrated, and an elderly couple sitting at the table nearby saw all that was going on and saw the frustration on the parents' faces. And so when the older couple got up to leave, they walked by the table with this younger couple and two toddlers messed up with spaghetti all over them. And the older couple said to the younger couple, "It won't be long until you look back on this season of your life and think how wonderful those days were." We fail to find happiness in the day-to-day, mundane, routine events of life. Now, one happiness blocker, this will kill the deal if you let it, is the uncontrolled desire to acquire. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Be content, be happy, with such things as you have." Be content with what you have. But the uncontrolled desire to have more will leave you unhappy and frustrated and miserable. Be content with what you have. The New Living Translation says, "Be satisfied with what you have." But for some people, everything they have is not enough. Happiness is not getting whatever you want. Happiness is enjoying whatever you have. Paul said, "Having enough food and clothing, let us be content." How simple is that? You got clothes to wear, you got food to eat, then be content, be happy with that. Jesus preached a message that some of us would need to hear again today. In the book of Luke, he told his disciples, "Be content with your wages." No amens, none. Not a single one. I was thinking you employers, business owners, would at least let your employees who are in the crowd hear you say amen on that one. Be content with your wages. But the problem is covetousness. It's the uncontrolled desire to acquire. Gotta have more. Covetousness. It was one of the top 10. And they said it in olden days like this, thou shalt not covet. Be happy with what you have. Don't be greedy and want somebody else's stuff. You've got clothes to wear, food to eat. You've got your basic needs met right now, this moment, today. Then be content with that and don't give in to an uncontrolled desire to acquire more. Those who are covetous, greedy, wanting more than they're allotted by God today are miserable and frustrated and are not contented or happy. In Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, blessed, and since I know the word blessed really is saying this, I'm going to read it like this. Blessed, oh, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful or the critical, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now that is the word of God. And in his law, or in the word of God, he meditates day and night. Now that's a happy man or a woman. That's a blessed man. Not just blessed, but oh, how happy is the man who does not walk the way the ungodly walks, does not hinder sinners in their search and on their journey to find God, and does not sit in judgment and is critical of everything. Does not do any of that. But, oh, how happy is the man, verse 2 says, whose delight is in the law and in the word. Now, I'm still growing. I'm not perfect. Have a lot more growing to do. But I've shared this with you before. Back in my younger days, in my more immature days, I was so desperate at times I needed a word from God. Blessed is the man who delights in the word of God. Oh, how happy is that man who takes delight in the word of God, reads it, meditates on it day and night. So desperate I've been in years past for a word. I remember I told Brenda one time, I've just got to hear from God. I'm going to just go into a room and I'm going to turn off the TV and I'm going to take nothing but my Bible and I'm going to, and I did this. I'm just going to, open my Bible and I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to let my finger fall on any page, a random page, and I'm just going to believe that the verse my finger falls on is what God is saying to me. Anybody ever been that desperate? I've done that a few times. But then on this journey, as I've grown and I'm still growing, I find now that when I'm desperate for a word from God, the book is still good. It's still there for me. But many times, now when I need a word from God, I don't have to randomly point my finger in the dark to one particular verse on a page of paper. I can search for the word I need. It's in my heart somewhere. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God wrote his law, his word, with his finger on stone. In the New Testament, God said, I will write my law on your heart. If your revelation of God's word is limited to simply what was written on stone, you're miserable and can't help it. But anybody who has the law of God, the word of God written on his heart under the new covenant should be, oh, how happy and blessed to know their God. And as we meditate on the word of God, feed our spirit the word of God, delight in the word of God day and night, and begin to practice what God's word says, our happiness quotient will increase. We will get happier and happier. Hey, I'm talking about a level now that has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on around you. There may be your neighbors quarreling, fighting. There may be your children dealing with this, that, and the other. Anything going on around you cannot permanently, effectively steal the happiness. There is a place where that is guarded for us. I'm not there yet, but I'm well on my way. Already I'm the happiest man in the world. So, I mean, I'm headed in the right direction. I am a happy man. I just can't be miserable. I do realize people struggle, and it's legitimate many times. I'm not discounting or minimizing depression. I know that's a spirit and a real problem. These days, different diagnoses are given, including bipolar. I know that's a serious ailment. It is a disease. In fact, the person who suffers with that is not at ease. They are diseased. But God is the source of all of our help. I believe in getting help in any way. Some people are healed if they move to a different climate. Healing comes. Some people are healed if they have a physical regimen to go through. That I'm all for that. Some people are healed through surgery and medicine from doctors. I'm all for that. We're grateful for any way it comes. But the ultimate source is the arm of God. And he's given us more than enough that we can be content and satisfied knowing him and what he gives us. Now, I want to close with a frame that'll explain a little bit about what I'm talking about. It's spirit, soul, and body. And you'll see there the difference between the top and the bottom. At the very top of our makeup is the Holy Spirit, being one with our spirit. Now notice, spirit is on top because every good and perfect thing, like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and including happiness, that's a good thing. Every blessing of every description comes down from the top. It comes from the top down. God, Holy Spirit, releases every good thing into our lives. And then at the very bottom is the body or the flesh. And we're limited if we never rise above the basic, just the flesh. The natural physical world, like gravity, pulls us down. Like gravity, the flesh pulls us down. The spirit on top lifts us up, but the flesh, like gravity, pulls us down. But notice the middle component of who we are, and we are triune. There are three parts of our makeup. Sometimes we forget this and get in trouble, but I am a spirit. I have a soul, that's a mind, and that is a will. That's where my emotions are formed and released from my soul. And then I live in a body, this flesh. It's the most temporary of all parts of me. One day it will go back to the dirt. It's just a temporary expression of me. You look at me? No, you're not seeing me. You're looking at my body. The real me you cannot see. The real me is a spirit man that lives in this body right now. This body has a shelf life. It will go away one day. But the real Carl will live forever because Carl is not a body. Carl lives in a body. Carl is a spirit, and not just any spirit. But when I was born again, I became one spirit with God, just like you did at the new birth. So a brand new Carl began by the Spirit. And it should always be in this order. Holy Spirit on top, ruling and reigning over the soul and over the mind and over the flesh and over the body. The Holy Spirit every day of our life lifting us up. If we don't have it in this order, if we have the flesh on top, ruling and reigning over our mind, over our spirit, then like gravity, it will push us down. So check and do an audit. Make sure you have your life in proper order. There are three parts of you. The real you is a spirit. It should be ruling your spirit, one with the Holy Spirit, ruling over your mind, which is your soul. Now, happiness is an emotion, and it springs from the soul. So if your spirit is ruling over your thought life, ruling over your mind, ruling over your emotions, then you've got a much better chance to know what a happy life. Oh, how happy you can be. And then from there, it tells your body, line up with spirit and mind. Line up with spirit and soul. We can tell our body sometimes, the flesh that wants to do what it wants to do. Spirit is ruling us today. Spirit over mind, and then body, flesh, you're at the bottom. We're ruling and reigning over you. You cannot do just what you want to do today because spirit is giving the orders from the top down. Now, as we delight in the Lord, blessed are we. Oh, how happy are we when we delight in the Word of God. And as we know the Word of God, and there are thousands, I'll only mention one. In closing, the one verse of Scripture, it's not an option, it's a mandate, it's an instruction. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Is that the devil or is it just me? I don't know. I think that's, you know, part of the plan to wake up somebody, I'm not sure. Be anxious for nothing. That's in the Bible. It's something we must obey. Do you think we should obey what's in the Bible? Well, if it says be anxious for nothing, do you think it's an option? Like on days when we feel like it, we can obey that. But on days that are bad, we can just overlook that one, come back to it later, take that test again down the road in the future. No, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. Well, as we delight in the Word, we see this in God's Word. And if our spirit is at the top, ruling from the top down, ruling over our mind, what we think, our emotions, how we feel, and then ultimately ruling over our flesh, our body, then we should realize, okay, that's doable. I wouldn't be instructed by God to do it if it were impossible. I can do this. I can live today without being anxious for anything. The Bible also says right after that, pray about everything. Somebody's here today and you're a bundle of nerves most of the time. You worry and fret. Jesus said to a woman in the New Testament like that, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I just want to say, if you want to be happy, you need to know the truth. You cannot be happy and anxious. You cannot be happy and worried. You cannot be happy and critical. You cannot be happy and frustrated. Now, I'm not talking about things around you. You can't have any control over that anyway. I'm talking about you and who you are and making sure your life is in order. Spirit ruling over mind and emotions ruling over body and flesh. You can't be happy and confused. Not for long. You can't be happy and angry. All of these are emotions, and they're in the soul, and they're much easier to manage, and much easier to submit to God when the Holy Spirit is on top, ruling from the top down, ruling every area of our life from the top down. And I heard a wonderful minister when I was a teenage boy say this to me. He said, "Carl, every year when I get a new calendar to book my appointments, schedule my appointments in a calendar for the next year, every year I write on page one these words, and I look at them every day of the year, every year. If you worry, why pray? If you pray, why worry?" So, if you want to be happy, like God wants his children to be happy and enjoy life. Oh, I'm not denying challenges. Not everything is right, certainly. A whole lot not right yet, even around you. But if you want to be happy, spend more time in the prayer room than you spend in the panic room. You have an option. I'm all vexed up and frustrated. I'm going to get in the panic room where nobody can hear, and I'm going to cuss a while and I'll feel better. Somebody knows how to do it, I can tell you. But if you really want to be happy like God wants his children to be happy, and we can be, don't spend any time in the panic room. Spend it all in the prayer room. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand.